There have been reports noted on the website of the fear of imminent explosion of the brains of some of my dear listeners, thanks to the content of certain stories. Now, not only is this just not permissible, but I do believe that listeners to this website are probably the types who would rather use their brains intact rather than seeing them splattered or scrambled or suffering from other results of literary explosive devices. And also, from a position of raw vanity, I must say that neither my website nor you would look nearly as pretty with your brains all messy. So, here's a nice bit of Soviet badinage in hopes that this settles them all back down into place. Good evening. It's Saturday, the 6th of January, 2007, and it's Miet's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Westinghouse Break by Mikhail Zuschenko. The thing is, Volodka Bukov was a little bit pie-eyed. Otherwise, of course, he would not have risked such a crime. He was loaded. If you must know, Volodka Bukov had downed a flagon of Erevan vodka just before the train started, and made up the rest with beer. And as regards food, he ate only one sportsman's weenie. What kind of food is that? So, of course, the fellow got disorganized. Because the combination is very caustic. One's head goes around from it, and various ideas ripen in one's breast, and one feels like showing off before the esteemed public. So, Volodka got into the train and began to show off a little. He said he was the kind of person to whom everything was permitted, and that even the People's Tribunal, in case of any misunderstanding, would uphold his side every time. Because he was, let the public know, of an excellent social origin. His grandfather had been a cowherd, and his mamma was the most unsophisticated countrywoman. And so Volodka kept on wagging his tongue. Some sort of a mood hit him. He felt like showing off. And at that point a citizen emerged opposite Volodka in the carriage. This citizen had cotton in his ear, and he was neatly dressed, not without luxury. And he said, "If you keep telling lies like that a little longer, they'll put you in the clink at the next station." Volodka said, "Don't you touch my self-esteem. They can't put me in the clink because of my origin. No matter what I do, I'll get lenient treatment. Because I am a hereditary peasant and proletarian." Well, that's the kind of mood that hit him. He was drunk, that is. And the public began to express its displeasure on this score. And the more venomous ones among them began to egg Volodka on. And some fellow in a blue cap, the low-down soul, said, "Why, dear fellow, why don't you smash the window to pieces, and we shall see whether you will be put in the clink or go scot-free. Or," he said, "even better than that, leave the window alone, but instead stop the train by turning this handle. This is the break." Volodka said, "What handle do you mean? Express yourself more precisely, you parasite." The one in the blue cap replied, "Why, this one. This is the Westinghouse break. Jerk it from the left to this side, and we'll see what happens next." The people, and the citizen who had the cotton in his ear, tried, of course, to stop the egg run. They said it was pretty shameful to suggest sober ideas to a pie-eyed man. But Volodka Bukov got up and so jerked the handle from the left that a cord which had been attached there with a government seal tore loose. Everybody turned mute on the spot. Silence suddenly reigned among the passengers. The only thing one could hear was the sound of the wheels, and nothing else. fellow in the blue cap exclaimed, "Oh, plague take him, he did stop it! What do you know?" At that, many jumped from their seats. The blue cap wearer tried to sneak out to the platform away from trouble, but the passengers didn't let him. The man with cotton in his ear said, "This is hoodlumism. In a moment the whole train will stop. That helps to wear out the rolling stock. Besides, there is the delay." Volokhobukhov himself got a little scared. He said, "Stop the one in the blue cap. Let me and him be put in the clink together. He put me up to stopping the train." But the train in the meantime failed to stop at once. The passengers said, "The train can't stop at once. Even though it is a suburban train, it is entitled to run after the application of the brake 80 yards, and on wet rails even more than that." The train in the meantime just continued on its way. It went close to a mile, and still there was no perceptible slowing down. The one with the cotton in his ear said, "It seems the brake is out of order, so to speak." Volodka said, "That's what I've been telling you. They won't do a darn thing to me. Put that in your pipe and smoke it." And he sat down. And at the next stop he got out, refreshed himself a little, and arrived home, sober as a crystal.